Hi folks, Matt McSpirit here, technical evangelist for Channel 9 at Microsoft, and we're here again at DockerCon 2016. So welcome. It's a hustle and bustle environment.
Yes,
lots of people hustling around between their respective sessions. Just come out of the keynote. We've managed to get hold of Scott, who's a COO at Docker. Bring us up to speed. What you do? What does that mean for people?
It's really exciting, right? So this is our fifth DockerCon 2 years ago. First one in June 2014. We had 400 people.
Wow.
Now we got over 4,000, 4,200 people.
That's an incredible growth.
And the wait list is like 600. So the more on the wait list than they were in the original conference. And so honestly, it's very humbling, right? That this open source project that was put out there in March 2013 has all of a sudden got this wonderful
it's
community
gone crazy,
around
yeah.
it. And everyone's here is largely a technical practitioner. They're a developer. They're a system engineer. They're actually users of the product, or even contributors to the open source. And so for us to see over 4,000 folks from 400 2 years ago, it's very humbling. It's very exciting.
And as a result, the partnerships that you're building with perhaps non-traditional container technology companies, which Microsoft historically you would put in that camp, growing and growing and growing. And we're seeing incredible things coming out of our relationship.
That's right. Well, it did start on the Linux side, right?
Yeah.
2 years ago. But as we know, the enterprise is a very complex place with heterogeneous infrastructures.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's obviously a tremendous population of developers and sysadmins, IT pros,
yeah.
in the enterprise that are, our camera just got jostled.
Yeah, that's all right.
That
we'll keep going.
We'll go this way.
Yeah, this way.
That are incredibly excited about the Microsoft platform and bringing containers to it. And standing back, it's about, Docker has really been about bringing incredibly powerful technology to all developers and sysadmins of any stripe, any color.
Mm-hmm.
And so, not just on the Linux side, but bringing that to Linux and Windows developers and sysadmins, for us is an incredible opportunity, and Microsoft's played a tremendous role in working together with us and the community
yep.
in open sourcing a lot of critical technologies to make it accessible to Windows devs and Windows IT pros.
You're right, it's a very different Microsoft from, let's say, 3 or 4 years ago, where
absolutely.
Open sourcing a lot of our own technology, we're working with a lot of open source organizations, delivering community-driven, let's say documentation is a good example,
yes.
the stuff we're doing with you guys around
yes.
how we document, how you use container technology.
That's right.
All open source, so people can help. We value the community's input.
Yes.
But when we think about what's driving containers, because the popularity is a hockey stick.
Right.
What is it that's driving force behind it?
Well, what's funny is that containers as a body of tech, they've been around for a while, right? I mean, depending on how you define it, you can go all the way back to the BSD Unix distribution in 1982-83 with Chiru, right?
Yeah.
Bill Joy and his work. But in the last decade or so, Google and Red Hat and others have made big contributions to Linux kernel, but it wasn't until March 2013 when Docker came on
yeah.
that it received widespread adoption and use. And we really think the reason is that Docker came along and took this very obscure, difficult to use technology that was really only the realm of systems engineers and high end kind of developers and made it consumable by all developers and sysadmins. Because
yeah.
you didn't have to be a kernel engineer to understand how to get these very powerful properties of resource isolation, resource management.
Correct, yeah.
And honestly, viewed through that light, Docker is about democratizing really difficult technology
mm-hmm.
that all can use and all can get power from, which is not dissimilar to other trends in tech, right?
Yeah.
There were CPUs before Intel and Motorola showed up, and they collapsed it to a chip and made it accessible to broad platforms. There were operating systems before Microsoft and
yeah.
Apple came on the scene. Again, democratize those. A hypertext protocol was a thing before Netscape came along and made it easy to consume in the browser, right?
Yeah.
And so on and so on. And Docker is following that true tradition of taking complex, difficult to use, but incredibly powerful technologies
yeah.
and making them widely adoptable and widely usable by developers and IT pros. And just bringing us really up to date, at this conference, we've followed on the heels of democratizing containers to democratizing orchestration.
Right.
And so a big message we've heard from the users and the community in the last 3 years is that, wow, the individual container is a phenomenal place to start. But an application is not just a single container, it's a collection of containers.
Correct.
And
yeah.
those containers need to be networked and deployed to multiple hosts and scaled horizontally.
Mm-hmm.
And you cannot add orchestration as an afterthought, as
yeah.
a bolt-on.
It needs to be thought of in front, planned, and so on.
From the beginning.
Yeah.
And we want to make the tooling and the interfaces just so easy that developers and sysadmins can just start with, okay, I'm developing a multi-container app, or if I'm a sysadmin, I'm deploying a multi-container, multi-host into my cluster, and just make that super easy. So yesterday's announcements, today's announcements have been about how do you take what we think is a fundamental primitive for containers, the orchestration
yeah.
primitives, and just make those accessible to all users.
So these technologies, can you give us some specific names of these kind of products so people can go and we can link to them as well?
That's right. So we can have a lot of fun with them.
Yeah.
So the big one announced yesterday was Docker 1.12,
yeah.
which is following our cadence of open source releases, mm-hmm. Where a lot of the innovation starts. And Docker 1.12 takes our previously released orchestration technology, Swarm and Compose, and really brings those primitives, some of those core primitives, into the Docker engine itself,
right.
such that when the user downloads and installs and starts working with the engine, they get the orchestration tools and primitives out of the box,
right.
whether they're an IT pro or developer.
Cool.
Today, one of our big announcements was Docker Data Center, also built on Docker 1.12
yep.
downstream, and its ability to apply layers of role-based access control and authentication authorization controls such that the enterprise can use these very powerful technologies in ways that are safe, secure, controllable for their environments.
Yep.
So those are two. There's many others. I mean, on the Microsoft side, we've been talking about Windows server containers for a while now.
Yeah.
We're now in TP5.
We're excited. Yeah, it's looking good.
Very excited. I know customers, name brand enterprise customers, who the day after TP5 released were calling their development teams and asking them to lift and shift into the .NET,
wow.
that lift and shift their .NET applications into TP5. Containers. So there's a huge demand and appetite in the market for this very transformative, very exciting technology.
Yeah.
And today we showed some exciting demos on stage with Marco Sinovich and Windows containers, but we also showed how Docker Data Center and Azure, Microsoft
yep.
Azure, can be used together to really give the enterprise a quick way to get started and understand the powers of the technology,
mm-hmm.
and then once they start crawl, walk, run, once they start walking and running, they can use that same platform to manage hybrid workloads from their data centers up to the public cloud.
Yep.
And so those are some examples of some of the very exciting products that have come out today.
Yeah, and I think that's...
And are going to be accessible today
yep.
to the users.
And that's one of the key things, I think, when we think about that crawl, walk, and run.
Yeah, that's right.
For a lot of IT professionals and sysadmins, I would put myself in that bracket. Containers 18 months ago, I had no idea.
Right.
Because I was coming from this virtual machine background,
right.
traditionally. Now, there's so much out there that helps people get started, help
yes.
people get through that crawl stage, figure out what it is, why are they different, why are they important, where do they play a part, where
yeah.
do VMs still play
yeah.
a part, both
yeah.
collectively with containers and separately, and then going on to the more advanced scenarios like you discussed around the whole orchestration of multi-tier apps
That's right.
that span clouds and all of the networking and relevant complexities to a certain extent that comes with that, spanning clouds. We make it easier through Docker Data Center as a good example.
That's right. Well, no, you're right, Matt. Like, there's risk of both fear, right, because it could be seen as, wow, a lot of complex things.
Yeah.
There's also fear or risk of buzzword bingo, right? And
mm-hmm.
so we try to keep it real, and we say it's evolutionary revolution, meaning you can take small steps to get going without having to go right to multi-node microservice application on day one,
yeah.
right? And so a simple example of a use case that we see quite popular is we call the lift and shift. So take your existing application, typically
yeah.
a stateless application, a front-end web server, IIS server,
yeah, yeah.
or I mean, Mark showed Microsoft SQL Server
right?
running
wow.
in a container. Right?
In
so
a container.
Take a single application, pick it up from inside its VM, put it inside a container, and right away, you get wonderful properties that the containerization brings you, Dockerization brings you. You get portability. You get a repeatable, immutable artifact as your build process.
Mm-hmm.
And so all of a sudden, you're able to move faster and make that artifact portable, not even before you even start talking production workloads. This
yeah.
is just within the development environment itself. And so once you get comfortable with lift and shift of basic apps and that basic CI workflow around Dockerization of your artifacts, then you can start progressing towards, okay, now let's stage this. Now let's start scaling it out and do some load testing. And then finally, the last stage, of course, is going to production
yep.
and all the maintenance and rolling updates that requires. So it there's a lot going on at the conference, and we're very aware that there's a lot of exciting announcements. And we would recommend users just kind of stand back, take a breath, and start with very small surface area projects,
yeah.
a single application,
yeah.
lift and shift, try moving it between different developer desktops,
mm-hmm.
and they'll see so much value in just doing that.
That's
it'll give them encouragement and enthusiasm for kind of continuing to do that.
And in the virtualization world, we used to refer to that as the low-hanging fruit.
Yes.
You know, just go for those simple workloads that are easy to, in this case, containerize, but in the previous, virtualize,
yeah, yeah.
and then go from there. So I heard you mention CI, as continuous integration.
Yes, yes.
That's a key part of a dev's workflow, I suppose you would say. Another buzzword, to
yeah,
use your term
yeah.
before, we hear a lot in the industry now is DevOps.
Yes, that's
so
right.
So where is your relationship with DevOps for people?
It's interesting, because DevOps was a thing, right? It was
yeah.
in the industry and being discussed before Docker came on the scene. And wind it back, right? We had the Agile movement in the last decade really transform development organizations, right? And how developers approach their workflows and how they work with each other.
Mm.
But of course, once the code's committed, that's only that's only part, you're only part way there, right? The code has to get into production. The app has to get finished and in production for it to have the impact. And so we're seeing Agile have dramatic impact on development, but not extend all the way into operations, all the way into production for the application pipeline. And so DevOps was this realization that, okay, wow, tremendous improvement using Agile methods and Scrums, you know, Kanban, whatever you want to label it, on the development side. How do you extend that throughout the application delivery pipeline, all the way through the value chain, right? All the way through into production operations, and then obviously continuous updating and management once the application is deployed. So that conversation was already in the ecosystem. It's like, how do we get there? How do we ship faster? How do we make changes faster? And of course, there's wonderful sets of companies, Puppet, Chef, Ansible, Salt were in there, and Microsoft's doing some very innovative work with DSC. And then along comes Docker.
Yeah.
And because fundamentally we're talking about updates to applications, Docker was such a useful abstraction to say, okay, your app is inside the container, and everything outside are hooks to manage it and deploy it and move it through this application delivery pipeline. And Docker just solved that problem of packaging up the dependencies, making it portable, smoothing that workflow across these different stages. It's so much easier than other tools in the industry that it just kind of caught the imagination and caught fire.
Yeah.
And so really, that it's a long-winded answer to your question, Matt. It was a simple question, but the ability to ship faster is the nirvana that everyone was talking about, and DevOps was helping folks get towards. And Docker showed up as a technology and just 10x, right? 10x the efficiency and the speed with which you could go through that cycle time end to end. Now, of course, DevOps is more than just technology, right? Mm-hmm. It's processes, it's culture, it's transformation of the organization.
Yeah.
So we're not gonna pretend Docker is gonna solve all of that. But we have seen Docker be the catalyst and start those conversations between development and ops, or all the way up to the CIO and CTOs that say, hey, you know what, now we can see how we do this from a technology standpoint, and culturally and organizationally, let's all rally behind this and transform our organization so we can ship faster higher reliability, higher quality.
Yeah, if you're thinking, if now is the time for you to weigh up your processes, and you're going to weigh up naturally technologies that are going to enable you to accelerate using those processes.
But there's education and there's tooling to come around it, and it can be a very positive thing. Like we've seen organizations go from moribund, ship every 9 months, changes sort of thing, to like teams and individuals on fire because they're shipping daily, right? They're shipping several times a day.
Awesome.
And that sort of, look, we all come to work, right? Regardless of who we are, we all come to work wanting to make an impact.
Yeah.
And boy, if the feedback loop is 9 months to see the impact versus daily or several times a day to see the impact.
Like, solicit feedback from your consumers and all that stuff. Yeah.
I mean, it's night and day.
It's a different world.
And so we've seen Docker transform organizations in a very positive way. That they're giving the users feedback on their work on a several times a day basis. We've actually received love letters. I kid you not. I can pull one up on my laptop. We received love letters from users who said, gosh, I used to dread going into work because my relationship between my ops organization was just so contentious, a developer, right?
Yeah.
So contentious. And like, I dreaded having to go in and like deal with that. And now Docker comes along and gives them It's not ponies and rainbows, right? But but it certainly gives them a contract of who owns the inside of container development, who owns the outside, and it simplifies so much of that conversation that this love letter said, like, gosh, now I look forward to coming to work. Nice. I look forward to problem solving with my operations team. And I was like, who does this? who writes letters like this,
right? It was actually
me. Okay, there you go, man. Well, thank you.
That's
thank
right.
you for that.
It
made my day when I received it. But kidding aside, we see, that's one example, but we see that example play out again and again and again across organizations. And it obviously, it's not just Docker, it's the community, it's great partners like Microsoft, it's the users who are here at our conference that are all contributing to this.
And users now have got more flexibility to achieve what they need to achieve through technology more than ever. You know,
that's
I go to the cloud, do I go on-prem, do I go hybrid, do I go Docker, do I go Hyper-V container, Windows Server container, Linux container?
That's right.
They've got so much choice. Choice is both a good thing, the bad thing, but with tools that you're offering, like Docker Data Center, you make it unified to manage and automate, which is key.
That's right, and in some sense, again, the contract is very simple, right? So you can have any language of choice inside the container. You can have Go, Java, .NET, Python, Ruby, but outside the container, standard interfaces.
Yeah.
And so we've taken that concept and extended it to the operations tooling, the Docker Data Center tooling, such that, it could be a Windows container running Microsoft SQL Server, could be Linux container running Java, could be on-premise, could be the cloud,
yeah.
but you're managing it through a uniform set of interfaces.
That's the key.
So that you can have a lot of productivity, a lot of efficiency, and a lot
the
of
control.
The control across all those different environments and languages. That's exactly right.
Well, thanks very much for your time, Scott. It's been a pleasure to learn a little bit more about the culture and the context around what you're doing here at DockerCon and broader. Stay tuned on Channel 9 for more interviews here from DockerCon 2016, and check out the rest of the resources on the Containers channel. Bye for now.